This morning we are having a time of sharing, but the first couple of people that are sharing, we don't have ramps to get up onto the stage, so we need to do it from the floor. So I'm going to begin by calling up Cassandra. If you would come and share with us, and I will assist with the mic, and you're going to share with us a poem and a testimony. And so...
Can everybody hear me? Okay. The semicolon is the symbol of suicide prevention because in writing, an author uses a semicolon to indicate a place where they could have stopped a sentence, but instead they chose to go on. This poem is about when I bought my first semicolon ring after more than 30 years of actively trying to end my life. It's called Continue. My semicolon ring arrived in the mail yesterday, the symbol of my pledge to find new ways to cope when life seems darkest. I've been waiting for weeks, hardly able to contain my excitement. Or was it anxiety? Because now that the semicolon ring is here, I am uncertain. After less than a day of wearing it, I have to take it off due to the intense emotions I am experiencing. The ring feels less like the promise of hope I was expecting and more like a trap. Less like gaining healthy coping mechanisms and more like losing a dear old friend. Less like opening curtains to allow in the light of new possibilities and more like walls closing in all around me. As my interior darkness deepens and my anxiety grows, I whisper a powerful prayer, a single word, the name Jesus. I can say nothing more. Panic has me by the throat. I am gasping for breath. My heart is pounding. I feel like I am dying. Somehow, despite my anxiety, I hear the still small voice of Father God whispering comforting words. I am here, my child. Together we will get through this. Just breathe slowly and deeply in through your nose and out through your mouth. As you breathe, place one hand on your chest and the other on your abdomen. Focus on keeping your chest muscles as still as possible while at the same time allowing your abdomen to expand and contract slowly. Remember, my daughter, the semicolon is merely a symbol of your commitment to embrace an attitude of hopeful resilience grounded in faith. Remember that the only way out is through, and just because it's real does not mean it's true. Also, it's not your job to hang on by your fingernails until help arrives. Rather, let go and trust me to hold you as you weep. Just relax, surrender all your emotions, doubts, and questions. After releasing everything that weighs you down, simply resolve to continue doing one thing at a time until you feel better. Continue breathing one breath at a time until you feel better. Continue praying one prayer at a time until you feel better. Continue writing one word at a time until you feel better. Continue singing praise songs one song at a time until you feel better. Continue testifying about my goodness, testifying one moment at a time until you feel better. Continue reading my word and other uplifting books. Read 1 minute at a time until you feel better. Continue engaging in healthy distractions, engaging one moment at a time until you feel better. Continue to get support from family, friends, and professionals. Get support 1 minute at a time until you feel better. Continue to repeat all these activities as often as necessary. Repeat 1 minute at a time until you feel better. This is the way to get through tough times until joy returns. This is how you honor me and your pledge. I am not asking you to be anyone other than the beautiful and unique person I created you to be, nor will I ask you to do anything that I will not equip you to do. If you ask me day by day, I will guide you in the paths you should go. I will give you all the mercy, grace, and love you need in daily measure. I will also shower you with blessings beyond counting if you but walk hand in hand with me, believing I willingly gave my life for you so that we could be together always. If you trust me to do all this and more, be still and know that I am God. I am with you always. Then when the dark night of the soul gives way to the glory of morning, you can once more lift your voice and hands in joyful praise. I wrote the first draft of this poem in 2019, shortly after The Ring arrived. I significantly revised it earlier this year in order to give glory to God, because I realized that I have not had any suicidal thoughts, actions, or hospitalizations since I wrote this poem. Life can sometimes still be difficult, but by God's grace, I have much better coping mechanisms, and I pray that this poem and my story may be a fitting testimony to God and his goodness.
Don't run off yet. Praise God. I just want to pray for you before you roll back. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for Cassandra and this testimony that she has given. We thank you that she acknowledges you. You are the source of life, that you are her everything. We praise you and we thank you for that. And may you continue to encourage her to grow in you each and every day. Amen. As she goes off, I'm going to call James up over here. James and I are going to have a conversation. James and I have been working on this for a while. You wanted to share with the church, and I'm glad that you've come up this morning. But you have been a part of our church for almost 18 years now. Is that correct?
Yeah, one time.
And over the years, you have come to know Jesus more and more and to love him more and more. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. There have been a number of individuals that have helped you on your journey. Could you tell me who some of those individuals are?
Chris, Kathy, and Susan.
Okay. Anyone else? And me. Okay, that's good. Thank you. So Chris Martins and Kathy, Holly and myself are the names that I heard. Chris Martins, she's been helping you do what?
Read.
She's been helping you read. And any particular book she's been helping you read? Your Bible.
Yeah.
So that helps you learn more about Jesus as well. That's awesome. And I know that Holly and Kathy have been encouraging to you,
sir,
and just being a good friend to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, my true.
Okay. You had mentioned to me that you have been learning about Adam and Eve in our sermon series that we've had this year. Was there any one or two things that you wanted to share with us that you've learned that you thought were great?
I think he was a very nice person, but God was, he's a good person, but no, that's the thing.
You think Eve was a great person, but awesome. There was something about Adam that you mentioned to me. Do you remember what that was?
Oh, he was fruit in there. And the garden of Eden, he couldn't eat at all.
With the fruit? Yeah. The one thing you had mentioned to me was about him being from the dirt. You thought that was pretty remarkable. Is that correct?
Yeah, me too.
And you want to continue learning about God? Is that correct?
Yeah, sure do. Me too.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing with us this morning. But before you go, I'm going to pray for you as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for James. Thank you for his willingness to come and share. We thank you that he is a part of our church and that he has been so faithful over these years. I ask that you would continue to bless him and help him as he continues to learn to read, as he grows in his faith with you and grows to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our third person is Ernie. And I think I'm just going to put a stand here. I'm going to stand by you.
So, this is where I talk. I'm glad to see everybody here, otherwise I'd be talking to myself. But I'm thankful for the church people with all the prayers and all the handshakes and all the smiles, all the hugs and the visitations. It meant so much to me. It meant so much to my wife Barb as well. And it helped us along the way. Because with the radiation, it really slows you down and you feel down and out. You don't know what to do. You just hope for the next day to be better. I do appreciate the congregation with the prayer. It made me feel so much like I'm part of the church family. And that meant a lot to me. Why I'm still here, I don't know. I guess that's God's decision, because I have a cousin that went through the same process as me. And he is now walking in heaven with Christ. So God's decisions are all different for every person. And what he has in store for me ahead of time, I don't know. The number of times in construction with the incidents that I had, I should not be here. And yet, God kept me alive, and you know, there was some pretty heavy incident. So what he has in store for me, I don't know. I know following him is the route to go, and let him to take care of everything for me and for Mar. And it really means a lot for this church congregation. And all, and the encouragement that they gave me means an awful lot. Means I'm part of that family, and it's amazing, and it means an awful lot to me. Thank you.
Let me pray for you, Ernie. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for Ernie and for his testimony. Recognize that cancer is a horrible, horrible disease, and we praise you and we thank you that he has been given this amazing report that he is in remission. Father, we thank you for the way he has been encouraged through this process. May your name be praised above all. And as he goes, may he know that we love him as a church family, that he is part of us, that he's and that you love him as well. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. We have Karen going to share with us, but Karen's in Thompson right now, so the tech guys are going to do something wizardry to make it work right. Wizardry is not the right word. They're going to make it work.
Hi there. So, Sharing Sunday, Pastor asked us to share, and I thought I'd have a little bit to say about our Churchill trip. I know a lot of you have heard already that there's a group from the church going to Churchill. It started off last year, so we have a bunch of people from the church, four of us actually, that started kayaking last summer. There's Nancy and Jess and Lori and myself, and we really enjoyed doing it. Like, can you imagine on the river, kayaking, and there's deer, and there's eagles, and there's turtles, and there's ducks, and there's, so many different animals, and the air smells beautiful, and the sun's in your face, and it's just really nice. And then I'm thinking, some poor sap is sitting in a gym on a rowing machine smelling sweat. And I just think, our God is so good. So that was our hobby. A few months later, in October, we went to a burn survivor conference, and one of our ladies on our committee mentioned she had been to Churchill to kayak with the beluga whales. And instantly, I just wanted to go so bad. And I texted our kayaking ladies, and they wanted to go too. So we started brainstorming about this trip. And it was just so exciting. I was doing my devotions a few days later, and I really felt like God was saying John should do his story in Churchill, his survivor story. After all, that's where his accident happened. Almost 30 years ago, he was burnt. I think most of you know the story, but if not, I'm going to just give you a little quick something. So almost 30 years ago, he was electrocuted. He took 138,000 volts going into his right hand and out his right foot, causing third-degree burns to most of his body. But you wouldn't know that John is any less than anybody else. He does everything everybody else does. And with a smile, he's really determined. He has golfed. He's jumped off high diving boards. He gives inspirational talks. He's done it at hospitals, nursing homes, children's groups, and even from the pulpit a few times. So it just made sense that God would want him to tell his story up there. I asked him if he wanted to do it, and he said, well... And then he said yes. So we were so excited. I called a church in Churchill, and a guy named Gord answers the phone. And I said, hey, were you there 30 years ago? And he said, yeah, why? And I said, I have a story for you. I said, 30 years ago, the power went out to all of Churchill because of a hydro accident. He says, I remember that. I said, that was my husband. I said, he had this accident, and now he's doing amazing things, and he does these talks. I told him about our kayaking adventures and how we wanted to kayak with the belugas and how during devotions I felt that God wanted him to talk. He says, well, I have a story for you. And I said, oh? And he said, yeah. He says, since COVID, our church only has about 6 to 8 people. And we gather and we watch church on Zoom. And the fact that you even caught me here is amazing because I was only here doing renovations or some maintenance work in the washroom. Usually there's nobody here. So the fact that you caught somebody at the church is a mini miracle from God. So we talked for a bit and he said John should definitely do his story, but not at the church. He should do it at the theater, at the Complex Theater, for the whole town. And so that was great. I gave him John's number, and they talked a little bit. And then everything started to happen. Like, God just put everything into place. So he opened the doors. So this gentleman, Gord, he happens to own 2 bed and breakfasts in Churchill. And they said they'd give us a deal. So instead of $185 a night, it's $100 a night per person, which is super cheap for up there. My brother-in-law, ex-brother-in-law, he's a tour guide. He's taken us on tours. We've had so many things happen. And yeah, I came to church and I was all excited. And I mentioned it to Walter. And Walter said, we'd like to come. We could do music. And it's like, okay, so now John's going to do a story. It's going to be in the theater. There's going to be music. And then after, Walter said, I have a friend who plays guitar and sings, and his wife actually does kids' stories and works in children's ministry. Can they come? It's like, whatever. I'm open to whatever God leads us to. So there's been a few, and then that was Darlene and Byron. So anyway, they're not coming now, but Walter's actually gathered up a few other people from the band and to help out. So it's John's family coming to hear his story and a few people from the band. And some of us will kayak, some of us will Zodiac. Either way, we're all going to get to see the whales. Cord's wife, Lynn, she was saying that I should actually tell my story because a lot of people would want to know and can maybe be blessed by hearing a story of a survivor's wife who didn't just give up and leave. And I said, well, I did it once at a women's wellness day, and I was scared so bad, I don't know if I want to do that again. She says, remember what happened with Jonah? And I said, what? She says, if you're supposed to tell your story and you refuse, I don't know if that's a good idea. She said, but the beluga whale's mouths are much smaller than in that story, so you are safe, but... Anyway, so we decided I'm going to tell my story too. So now we have John's story, and we have music, and we have my story, and now I'm going to do a speed painting. There's a lot of stuff going on. So we have 17 of us are going, and I just want to encourage everybody. When God speaks, you should listen. I don't know if you guys all do your devotions each day in the morning, afternoon, evening, but whether... I encourage you guys to be reading and praying, because when you do, God's going to speak to you, and he's going to tell you to do things that may scare the heck out of you, but if you do it, God will bless you and your family and your church, and he will bless the people you talk to. I guess I'm almost done. So I guess I could ask, if I could ask you guys, for this trip, we can use a little bit of support. We're going to be having a potluck with the church there and possibly a dessert afternoon on the Sunday. So I'm wondering if any of you who like to bake would be interested in baking stuff for us to take along that would travel well. Now, I'm not a baker, so I don't know what that means. Maybe that means cookies. Maybe that means loaves. I don't know. The bakers in our group can decide. If you want to send something, that would be great. And then, of course, you could pray for us. That's my story for now. And feel free to ask us questions anytime. Bye for now.
Now, I hang on just a second, Shram. I know that not all 17 members are here, but if you're going to Churchill on this trip, could you stand? And I'm going to pray for the group. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you for this testimony that Karen has shared and how this trip has come about. And we ask your blessing upon each one that is going on this trip. And Father, for those who are going to help out with baking or whatever it is, may you bless and anoint them. guide and direct them as they go. May they enjoy their time seeing the whales and your creation and the bears and whatever else they're going to see, but also be with them as they share to the town of Churchill. May you... This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've got our next one is Shram, and he's live. he's in person.
Hello, everybody. I know everybody is hungry, and, you know, we're kind of running out of time here, it looks like it, but I'll see if I can keep it short. So we can all get to our food. you know, I've got priorities. Pastor Dave, you know, one of his favorite, foods. I mean, he calls it a fruit, but it's the hamburger, right? And I share the same interest in hamburgers, and I'm pretty sure most of you do. But moving on, for me... you know, the experience of walking with the Lord started maybe 5 years ago, and, at a different church. And then gradually I kind of moved to this area and then settled and then found the right church and, you know, getting to know the community and the people. And every step of the way, you know, what's been amazing is, you know, we meet people who are, you know, very engaged in the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, and they're engaged with the Word. And, you know, the two people I can think of, you know, Walter and Chris, you know, attending classes on how to listen to God, right? I mean, it's so much about that, you know, investing the time and the effort, right? And just being open, right? For the Sovereign Holy Ghost to come and join us and fellowship with us and then direct our steps, right, in terms of what we got to do. And I think, you know, engaging with pastors, you know, various church leaders in terms of, you know, what they hear from God in terms of what an individual's path is going to be in ministry, right? And, you know, one thing resonated with me here was the word ethnos, right? And so, you know, it's all about languages. It's all about the rich tapestry of people that are out there who are either already part of the body of Christ or who are on their way to joining the body of Christ, right? And so how do we overcome those cultural and linguistic barriers that prevent, you know, prevent people from actually coming to know the Lord, coming to know who God is? Because, you know, you have so many different languages out there, and the word God, you know, is what we use in the English language. We have another word in German, which is a Anglo-Saxon language, right? So it's, I think it's Gott or something.
I believe so.
Yeah. And you know, so those are very similar. And, you know, coming from this congregation, which, you know, we have a sizable number of people from the Mennonite background, right? Obviously, German and English are, you know, the primary languages, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do we expand from there and make that experience relatable to people who have not met, you know, individuals from the Mennonite community or who have never heard the word Pentecostal? I mean, we're very fortunate. For example, we have Shirley here. It's like the Pentecostal church gifted us the cream of the crop. They gave us their best, right? So as the evangelical free church, we're extremely fortunate to be here, right? Because we got Shirley here. and she's very strong on the Holy Ghost as well. And you know, so is everybody else. To, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is something that's a very personal thing, right? The church does its best, you know, to kind of get the process going, and then that experience, you know, varies from person to person, and it all happens according to God's timing, and that is perfectly fine. So the direction I received, I think, from my church leaders was, you know, I should probably go towards ministry of people who spoke the Persian language, because that is kind of my background, right? And something that I'm proficient in, and the reading, the writing, the cultural nuances. And there are many cultural nuances that I got to learn because, well, you know, I haven't lived in that region for 33 years, right? So a lot would have changed, you know, in 33 years, right? So it's a lot of catching up. But interestingly, I've ended up, you know, having some online opportunities that just kind of started on their own, very organic, where, you know, I got a prompting to go and talk to certain family members that I hadn't talked to in a long time and trying to get to know people. And as we start talking and whatever, you know, it seems like everybody's looking for some form of a spiritual relief, right? And that becomes apparent very quickly based on the nature of problems and struggles that everybody faces in their daily lives, whether, you know, there's a person who is ill, or you know, there is some kind of a turmoil going on in the family, somebody's having surgery. So, you know, it's very similar to the type of things that we pray for here at Maranatha Church. And thankfully, we're a congregation that, you know, every time we pray, the Lord answers us, right? And we've seen the fruits of that. And we're a very strong congregation from the standpoint that, you know, the people who do show up, they show up consistently and they're participating and, you know, very committed. So it's all good. And, you know, one of the things I found very gratifying about the whole experience, and this has just kind of gotten off the ground and maybe in the last month or so, is, you know, stuff like, you know, we know what Jesus Christ stands for as our Lord God, as our Savior, you know, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? You know, Father to the fatherless, right? And people from other backgrounds, when they hear that, they're very surprised and they're like, I didn't know he did all that, right? I had no idea, because for so many people, they're raised with the idea of a higher power or God, but it's a very abstract concept. So to be able to personalize that and actually put a face and a name and really establish the true identity of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the only begotten, based on the fact that before anybody else was created, the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I guess the Holy Ghost, they were the ones that were there. They were the constants. They never changed. They were there from the beginning. And what we ended up with was the creation and the world that we live in today. And, you know, we have challenges because we live in a fallen world. But one day at a time, you know, we move forward through the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to know the Lord, and we get to know the Holy Ghost. We get to know the Heavenly Father better. And it's all, our life here is almost like a dress rehearsal so that we become more qualified at resurrection to meet our Maker, right? And so it's been a really wonderful experience. I'm not going to spend any more time on this than what I've said, and, you know, I wish everybody a really good day.
Let me pray for you. Thank you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for Shram and for him becoming a part of our church. Thank you for his heart to serve you in unique ways and in being up late at night and sharing with his family members back home in his home countries. And Father, I just pray that as he does that in the Persian language, that you would just bless him, give him and anoint him with the words to share with them as he prays for them, as he loves them and shows and exhibits you to them. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. John, you want to come up? I'm not sure if you want to hold or use. I see you got paper, so I...
Oh, 5 words to describe my past life. I'm ashamed and rightly so. My testimony. I was raised what you would consider a Christian home. When I was in grade 9, I ended up in the hospital in Winkler a couple of times. The first time it was for a ruptured appendix, and the next time it was shortly afterwards with a ruptured hernia. In one of those two stays in the hospital, I gave my life to Christ. However, I didn't fill my life up with Christ as I should have, and I let my Christian life lapse. What followed was Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45. Quote, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first, unquote. I am sure some of you are wondering what happened to my arm. It all stems back to when I was a boy and a struggle with sexual sin that followed me for many years. But apart from that, I had some odd jobs around Manitoba, and then I believe in 1977, I moved to Alberta. In 1980, I got hired on with Mobil Oil, and then everything progressed from bad to worse. I started going out to prostitutes, and I did that for 15 years, until I quit working for Mobil Oil in 1995. In 1995, I decided to straighten my life out and to live like a Christian should. But that fall, I got very sick with schizophrenia. I heard voices in my head. I did end up in the hospital, the Misericordia in Edmonton, but they gave me a weekend pass, and circumstances followed then that I didn't return to the hospital. My illness was so severe that on October 15th, 95, I cut my left arm off. I remember almost blacking out a couple of times because of the excruciating pain that I had. You may wonder why my left arm. In my sickness, I had decided to take Matthew 5, verse 28 to 30, very literally. It says, quote, "I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in her heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Unquote. I thought that would cure me, but there is the real problem. Even afterwards, I struggled with the same sin. Lust and porn had a grip on me. It is a grievous sin. Thankfully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I have been able to overcome this addiction. But it is like any addiction. It wants to return again and again. But I'm glad to say that I've overcome those addictions. And I'm glad to say that I have overcome all those addictions. They say there is no cure for them, but that it can be arrested. And that is what I am doing, day by day, choosing Jesus over my addictions. If you are struggling with this, God wants to help. Victory is in Christ alone. And now for some good news to share. James 2, verse 13. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And one that I like most of all is Ezekiel 18, verse 21 and 22. But if a wicked man turns from all the sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live." Unquote. Thank you for all your prayers, and thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to pray for John as well. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you for John. I thank you so much for his testimony, the struggles that he has come through, that he has overcome because of you. Father, we are grateful for his example, that he is one who relies upon you, and that you have helped him overcome these addictions. We praise your name for that. May we ask that you bless him continually each day. As he has said, these addictions are not cured, but they are arrested. Help him each day to choose you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
I got one more. Walter, come and share.
Wow, that was awesome. Wow, thank you so much for your courage there, John. All you guys for sharing what God is doing. Isn't that amazing? Like, that's only God. I mean, you can't orchestrate stuff like that. That's so amazing. Oh, I was just thinking about Tyler graduating. You know the word that I said when I graduated? Well, at least I think I did. Freedom! Freedom! And you know what happened? I got a job. And then there was no freedom. Then I wanted to go back to school. Then I went back to school, and I figured, oh, I don't want to go to school anymore. I want to get a job again. Only in Christ do we have freedom. So that's not really what I was going to share. I've been told by quite a few people already this morning that I don't speak loud enough, so I'm going to speak loud enough, and you're going to tell me to not speak so loud. So I was thinking about just over the last little while, praying and asking God, and he said to me, you know, I just said, I want to be more intentional, Father. I want to be more intentional. But that's not in Christian work or in youth with the mission, not in that. It was more, and you should be intentional in that. I'm not saying that. But it was more in my walk with Jesus, in my daily walk with him. I wanted to be more intentional. So I have a few examples. The first example, you know that Chris and I, we adopted three girls from Ukraine, right? So we thought we were kind of done with Ukraine. But this month, we have a Ukrainian family living with us. Four of them. They don't speak English except one. And so it's only for a month. And so when this opportunity came, I said, Father, I already did that. We did the Ukrainian thing. Do we have to do it again? And no. And so you think, well, yeah, it was just, it's the best thing going right now. It was really a lot different than what I expected. But the reason I brought it up is that through being intentional in that, obeying the Holy Spirit in this, she speaks Ukrainian, and their testimony is just incredible on how they came to know Jesus. One was a drug dealer, one was an addict. And now they've been talking online in Ukrainian with our daughter. So how do you orchestrate that? Unless you're obedient, right? How do you orchestrate somebody talking to your daughter in Quebec? So anyways, my daughter has some issues that way. But so that's one example. And then I remember being at home, and the Ukrainian family came to me and says, just pointed at the door, because they don't speak they speak English. So I went to the door, and here's this guy wondering what's happening, and his name is Mike. And I said, hello? And he said, you know, we always come by your house, and we want to see your garden. So just out of the blue, he wants to see our garden. So we take him back. We have Virginia creepers and stuff. And so he was really thrilled about that. And I said, well, that's great. And I don't know how our conversation went, but he says, well, we have no friends. Who says that? We just met him. And I said, well, we'll be your friends. We'll be your friends. And so we talked to him a little bit. And then Chris gives him a hug. I'm thinking, how does this happen? You know, we got to look for those opportunities that come to us and step into them and be intentional. And so the God was speaking to me that way, and I was thinking, wow, this is great. So we have to go and meet him at some point here. And so my third thing was, Karen already shared how this ministry came about. And so when she shared it with us, she actually asked us to help her organize a mission trip because she had no idea what to do. And I said, sure, we'll help you. And then I heard the story and I thought, wow, this is great. This is you, Jesus. You're doing something, you know? And so for Karen to say, Lord, do you have something else? It's not just about me going kayaking and to jump into that. And to flow with it, I was thinking, Father, I want to be a part of this. So we asked her, can we come? She says, sure. Anybody can come. So I started thinking about who else would like to come. So I asked Daryl. And he's going. So, yeah. So it's very exciting for me to see the Holy Spirit moving in somebody's life and God speaking to them and getting on board with that. So we were praying about this. And you know, we're talking to the people over in Churchill online, and they'd give us information, but not very much. And they wouldn't get back. And I'm kind of thinking it's like talking to people in Africa. You know, there's like laid back, yeah, we'll get to that when we get to that kind of thing. We're trying to plan here. And so it's really interesting because we were asking them about information for the sound equipment. And Lord, so we don't know much about what they have there and how to get it. And so we're coming back from Alberta, Chris and I, and suddenly we get a phone call in the car. We have it goes on to the radio, there was a name with it. So if you get a number, you automatically think, oh, this is somebody trying to sell me or scam me or something. So we usually block those. So make sure you put your name down if you want to phone us, otherwise we'll block you. Right? So anyways, so it was Colin Black. I said, who's that? I don't know. Well, answer it. So apparently, Colin was coming home to Winnipeg to, because his father had passed away. His father, and they both loved Jesus, but his father was involved in ministry, and they wanted to donate some music equipment to YWAM, because we have a YWAM page. And so on the phone, we got this portable sound system, and we went and looked at it. It's awesome. We have a sound system. So I said, we're going to Churchill. We need this. And he was thrilled. So he gave us a bunch of stuff. But I was just thinking, you know, when you're intentional, following what God is asking you to do, he promises to take care of our needs. He promises to take care of us. You know, it doesn't mean we're not going to go through pain or get hurt or whatever, but he'll go through that with us. So the posters are already in the back, so you can check them out. The Churchill posters, they're on the bulletin board. And one last thing that Karen mentioned is the cookies. It's really important. So I'm thinking 5 of you, 2 dozen each. That should be enough. So, get on that. Talk to Karen. Tyler, talk to your mom. Yeah, good. Other than that, I think that's it. That's all I got on here. Psalm 103, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. So, praise God. You got a question? Oh, yeah. It wasn't 17. She said 17, but it's actually 15. So she's repenting. Forgive her. Forgive her for saying that. It wasn't a direct, you know. She didn't say 25. Come on. That's not bad. Just a typo. Anyways, yeah, that's it.
Can I pray for you?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Was I loud enough?
Yeah, it was very good.
Okay, good.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Walter and for the ministry that he and Chris have with YWAM, and we thank you that he's always ready and prepared to listen. Father, as he desires to be more intentional, I pray that you would just allow that to blossom, allow him to be more intentional and encourage others to be intentional as well. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to call the worship team up and kind of put stuff back to where it was.